Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Theory of Pets. Today, I spoke with a woman named Cindy Swiney, and she gave me some information about canine agility. This is a sport that I have become interested in recent years. We have a chocolate Labrador, Sadie, and she is, one, very energetic and active, and two, she really enjoys mental stimulation, training, nose work, those kind of things. So I started her with agility to burn some energy. Was like my main goal was to just get rid of some of that excess energy, but it turned out to be something that was really fun for me. Sadie loves agility to the point where we actually have put a couple of obstacles that we made ourselves. My husband helped me create some homemade agility obstacles for her in our backyard, and it's become something that we really enjoy doing together, her and I. So I wanted to talk to Cindy today a little bit about the sport, the benefits for the dog, and you know, if you've been thinking about agility or you're curious about it, she's going to tell us a little bit about dog breeds that are best suited for agility, what dog owners need to know if they want to get started. She's really full of great information on the subject. Cindy, if you could start by giving us a little bit of background about yourself and how you got started in the sport of canine agility, that would be great so that we could get to know you a little bit.
When I graduated from university, I got my my mom's Sheltie, and we lived in a third floor apartment, and it was boring walking around the block. So it just happened that I saw an ad in the paper for dog agility, and thought, well, that sounds like fun. So I went over there, we took classes, and my Sheltie was like, whatever you want, I'll do it. She made it seem easy, so I continued on, and that was back in 1990.
Wow, so, it does sound like it's
30 years.
It does sound like it's quite simple when you have a dog that's willing to work with you.
Yeah, if she had been problematic, I probably wouldn't have done it for so long, but when they make it feel easy, it's more fun.
Absolutely.
So I've just been stuck at it for a while now. Like I said, almost 30 years, and in the last 8 years, I was president of our Canadian organization for 6 years, starting in 2010 to 2016. So I've seen the whole gamut, and I've been judging for about 15 years.
And when we talk about canine agility, there's so much to it. Can you kind of give a little bit of a background of the sport and all of the things that it entails?
Well, it was started in England by a couple of gentlemen, and they did it as a halftime show at one of the Crufts dog shows.
Oh, wow.
And they just had a couple of dogs go through a whole bunch of obstacle courses, or an obstacle course, with things like a table and a wall, over jumps and through hoops and through tunnels, and everybody loved it, and it's just grown from there. And I can't even remember when that was. I think it was, 1988 was when it came to North America.
And I think you touched on my favorite aspect of canine agility, which is, you know, certain dog sports have to be done with certain products in a certain way. But agility is so versatile. You can really make the obstacles, you know, right for your dog, whether they're little or big or slower or faster.
Oh, yeah. Yep. This sport, any dog can do it. Not all of them are great at it, but you can do it with any dog, as long as you understand your dog and how they work and how they train and what works best for them, because it's supposed to be fun. If it's not fun, something's not going right.
Right. And are there benefits for the dogs as well as the owners when it comes to doing canine agility together?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I started out doing it because it was far more interesting than walking around the block. And it's interesting trying to figure out what makes the dog want to work. If you like the training aspect of it, it's exercise. It gets people out of the house on a regular basis. it gives the dog something, especially those dogs that can never seem to tire out. 30 seconds of brain work can be more tiring than an hour's jog. So there's a lot of learning, and the dog actually has to use the brain. It's not just physical. And that's quite a bit of work for a lot of dogs, and a lot of dogs like to do stuff. So they like speed, they like to do fun things, they like to run, and this sport is a timed sport, so the faster your dog, the faster your time.
And is it a good sport? Now, you mentioned any dog could do it. Are there certain dogs, maybe, for example, senior dogs or puppies that shouldn't attempt canine agility?
I think they can all attempt it. Dogs like bulldogs or dachshunds who have really long backs, it's a little bit more difficult, but it's not impossible. There's just a bigger chance of injury to a dog who isn't built light, or a dog like a dachshund who has a long back will have some trouble sometimes going up over the wall. Puppies, generally, you can teach puppies a lot of stuff on the ground before you even get to the equipment, but we generally don't start our puppies until they're about a year old, when they've stopped growing mostly, because you don't want to do impact sports with them when they're still growing. But yeah, every dog can do it, just not all do it well.
And you mentioned, you know, you've participated in competitions yourself and you've been a judge. Are there dog breeds that seem to be better suited for agility training and competing?
Well, there's different organizations, and each one has different criteria. But every dog, as long as you do it fault-free and under time, can qualify and earn titles. And there's lots of titles to aspire to, because if you really like to run and you really want a fast dog and you really are a perfectionist, there's world competitions that a lot of people strive for, and North America has their own teams that they send to these competitions. They're all over the world, so it's another great way to travel. But yeah, if you're into competitions, fast, really fast dogs that like to work are probably the ones that are going to get you there. But our local competitions are basically everybody who just wants to get out and have some fun with their dogs.
That's great. And let's say there's a pet owner listening right now and they have a dog that they think maybe would be interested in agility. So how would they get started training their pet if they wanted to do some agility together?
Well, the first thing I would recommend is probably a quick Google search for agility classes in your local area. Because up here in Canada, we have several governing bodies, but the one I was president for, the Agility Association of Canada, we have a list of member clubs, and a lot of those member clubs also offer classes. So if you know which organization you want to play under, you can go look up and see who is in their club, which clubs are actually offering classes, or you can ask their executive, you know, recommendations for agility in the area. But quite often, an easy Google search will probably get you somebody closer.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I live in Maine, and there are agility classes all over different parts of our state, too, so I'm sure they're everywhere.
Yeah. And if you can't find somebody with a Google search, like I say, if you look up the breed organizations or any of the breed clubs, almost all of them offer agility or have members that offer agility, so they can simply direct you to somebody in your area.
And let's say you start the training, your dog seems to love it, you're really enjoying it. How would you go about getting started if you wanted to compete?
If you wanted to, well, again, depending on, like in Canada, we have the Agility Association of Canada, but we also run some USDAA, which is the United States Dog Agility Association. We also run Canadian Kennel Club. We run ASCA, which is the Australian Shepherd Club of America. We run UKI, which is the United Kingdom International. So depending on where you want to go in competition, you might want to try, different organizations have different types of classes and different, a little bit of different design styles and slightly different rules, but for the most part, they're pretty similar. But if you want to get into competitions, all of them offer competitions in their local areas, because it's the local agility clubs that offer the trials. They're just governed by those organizations. So if you wanted to just go out and have some fun with your dog, there's something for every dog at every level. And the more competitive you get or the better your dog gets, the world's open to you because they're always having tryouts for the world teams.
That's fantastic. So the local trials are first, I'm assuming, and then as you kind of work your way up through those, you would qualify for bigger trials.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They usually have tryouts across the countries for teams to send to the Worlds, and the Worlds are held every year in a different country. And the criteria to get on those teams might vary a little bit. I will give you an example from the one I know best, which is our Canadian organization. And we have a national competition every year. So you do your local trials, then you go to the regional trial for our province. And then from there, you try to get enough points to go to our national trial. And from there, if you're on the podium or you're in the top 10, you can be invited onto the world team. And then you go off to wherever that world organization is holding the competition that year.
Fantastic. That's exciting.
Well, yeah. If you're competitive, it probably is. Of course, it takes a little bit of cash to get to those places. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Trying to find sponsors can be difficult.
Yeah, that's something that probably... Yeah, you'd have to think about, you know, after you get through those kind of local trials, you probably have to start looking for sponsors.
Yes, if you want to get to the world team, you almost always have to find some sponsors to help cover those costs because the flights and sending dogs across the ocean can be quite expensive.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. This is great information. I get a lot of questions from people that are looking into, you know, not necessarily to compete, but just to have something different to do with their dogs. You're from Canada, so you understand the harsh winters like we have here in Maine. And so I hear a lot of people, you know, they're looking for something to do when there's 5 feet of snow and you really can't do a whole lot out in, you know, your yard, outdoors, and agility has become quite popular with a lot of people down here that they just set up a small course in their backyard to keep their dog busy when, you know, the weather's cold.
Yeah, no, it is definitely a good sport that you can do all year round as long as you have local clubs that have a facility to use. It's better than going out in the backyard in the winter.
Absolutely. Keeping out of the cold is always important.
Like I said, it's there to have fun. It's not something dogs do instinctually, but if you're not having fun, then there's something wrong. So if you want to have a good time with your dog, agility is a great place to go because everybody's pretty good about the social aspect too. It's a big social.
Yeah, that's a nice, you know, we talked about some of those benefits for dogs and their owners. And that's one of the things
exactly.
That probably a lot of people don't realize is, you know, maybe you're new to an area or, you know, you just want to get out and meet some new people. Some of the best kinds of people, I think, are dog owners. So get out and enjoy.
Yeah, and if they're doing something that you have an interest in, that's even better because now you have something you can talk about.
Definitely. A big thank you to Cindy for being on the show today. I really appreciate her coming on to talk to us. And if agility is something that you think that you and your dog would be interested in, whether you're just getting started and you've never had any experience or you have played around with it a little bit and you're looking to delve a little deeper, check out some of those local clubs in your area. As Cindy mentioned, they are located all around. It might be a little bit of a drive, but there's sure to be one close enough that you and your pet could participate. So thanks again to Cindy, and thank you to you guys for listening. If you could take just a quick minute and leave me a review, that would be great when I reach out to experts like Cindy to come on the show. It really helps to show that you guys are out there listening and enjoying the podcast. So again, thanks for listening, and I will be back with another hot topic in the pet industry next week.